going to come down here because I feel claustrophobic with everything up there. Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's a beautiful day. Before we continue, I just want to have one more word of prayer. More prayer, more power. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And everyone can see me right here, right? I don't want to make sure everyone can see me. All right, cool. Let's have a word of prayer. Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us to worship you freely. We want to thank you that you have given us the opportunity to fellowship. And we want to thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus, your Son, who has made the sacrifice on our behalf to give us victory, Father, to set us free from the bondage of sin. And so we ask that you would be glorified. We ask, Jesus, that you would be lifted up, that you may draw all men to us. And we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would please lead us and guide us into truth. And Father, if there's anything right now before we hear the message that is separating us from you, we ask that you would remove it so that we may have ears to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Judas, and I like to make myself known to anyone and everyone possible, but I just thought you might want to know that I'm Judas, and I didn't know if you recognize this. It doesn't look like it, but these are Gucci robes, a Gucci suit that I just picked up. I went all the way around the world and back and traveled, and I'm wearing the finest things in life, but okay, let me take that back. That's not why I'm here to talk to you, but I'm here to talk to you about me and my life and how I got connected to Jesus. But let me tell you, I was wandering around the city one day, and I saw this guy walking around with these other guys, and I thought he was a gang, and he was a gang leader, but he drew a crowd, and I said, that's not like a gang. Usually they chase crowds away. So I came up, and I started listening to what this guy was saying. And you know what? Surprisingly enough, this guy had clean language. I mean, whoa, did not expect that. And he's speaking kindly, and he's talking about these crazy topics that I've never heard. And let me tell you, before I go any further about this, I've always been a good church boy, grew up in the church, and never did anything wrong. And now here I am, an adult, and life couldn't be better. Anyways, back to the story. So I come and I see this man. I overhear his name is Jesus. And I'm listening. And all throughout time, we have been hoping that we would see a deliverer come, a guy named the Messiah. And we see this man here, and he's claiming to be the Son of God. And he does something that just astounds me. He starts healing people. It was the craziest thing. I've never seen this. It's the only things that I've only seen like in videos and everything, and it's just blow my mind. He heals people. He gives them sight. He gives them the ability to speak again. People who are lame, they start walking again, and it's just blowing my mind. And I said, wow, I want to get to know this guy. And I get in close with his close circle of friends and realize that they're his followers, his close go-to guys. And I said, I want to be a part of this. I'm always looking for the next best thing. And if we can get out of the oppression that we're in with these Roman dudes, then that would be great. And I think this guy is that guy to do it. So, yeah, like myself, entrepreneur myself, I go up and I tell Jesus, you need me. And you probably didn't recognize me, but I thought I'd make myself available and let you know, you need me. Let me tell you, I'm good with money, and I'm very business-minded, and I can do what you need me to do, something that your other disciple dudes can't do. And I think I pitched a pretty good sale, and he took me on. He took me under his wing, and I became one of the, as they call it, the 12. And so here we are, we're going around town, and I'm watching Jesus do all of these great things, and it's just blowing my mind. And I think more and more, the more I see that this Jesus guy is doing this, the more I start to buy in that maybe this is the guy we've been waiting for. In fact, He even sold me a little bit more when he put me in charge of the money box, you know. And, we like to collect loose offerings and everything, but the best thing is that he gave me his card. So if we needed something, he'd just say, go to the bank and just swipe it or do what you need to do and go feed the hungry, feed the poor. And, you know, since I had this extra responsibility, I... always looking for the opportunity, think that, you know, maybe I need to get paid a little. Since everyone's working for free, you know, I get the extra task of doing something extra special. So, out of the funds, I just pay myself. Nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, I'm doing the work. I'm going out. I'm feeding people. I'm getting the food and giving it. And so, someone needs to be rewarded for this task. And so, I take it upon myself to pay myself, because I think Jesus is really forgetting the fact that I'm actually doing the work, okay? So, I go down, get it, take care of it. People praise me and say, oh, thank you, you're so awesome. And I say, yeah, it was Jesus, but yeah, you're right. I did give you the food. And on behalf of all the disciples and Jesus, you're welcome. And so that's my lot with the disciples. And the more I saw Jesus do his thing, the more and more, like I said, I become more convinced that this may be the guy we have been waiting for. And I keep on thinking, why doesn't Jesus just go out and build an army? There's enough people who would be sided with him to go build an army. I mean, after all, this is what the Messiah is supposed to do. He's supposed to come and just set us free and get us off this oppression level and get out of it, give us liberty, give us freedom, and it'd be great. And so the more and more I watched him, the more it confused me because his ideas weren't matching up with my ideas. And so I had to elaborate on some of the things that Jesus would say because I understood the scriptures better than, you know, the disciples. And so I had to insert what I thought Jesus was missing out on saying. Yeah, I probably took some stuff out of context, but that's beside the point. Jesus wasn't hitting on the main point about what he came here to do. So I had to put it in their minds of what he was going to do. And so we went on, and you know, there came a point where I was just getting so convinced that this is the guy. But then, Jesus, Jesus saw this opportunity where he had broken bread and fish, and he multiplied it over and over and over, and then he gave it to people, and they were excited about that. They were eating, and then we went to another side of the place we were at, and people came, and they said, we wanted more, and he said something. And this was a turning point for me. He said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And I took a step back and said, whoa, this guy isn't thinking about the worldly good of the people. He's offering something spiritual. And that just completely threw me off my rocker because I thought that this Jesus guy was going to bring us some worldly good and set us free, and he was going to be the leader of us all. Now, I'm going to start distancing myself emotionally, but still be here, but now I'm going to have to take things into my own hands. And I did. I had opportunities previously where I could have just betrayed him, you know, because he said he has to be delivered into the authorities' hands and then die. But if he's the Son of God, he's going to deliver himself when he gets captured, and then everyone's going to manifest or see the manifestation of his godly power. So, it is my job to do that. And once Jesus sees that I can deliver him into the hands and then he manifests his power, then he will see that I'm the guy to be at the right hand of his authority. I'm that guy. And so I take matters into my own hands and I go talk to these religious guys and they offer me some money. Oh man, I just shake when I think about it. Ooh. all that silver. I mean, granted, yes, he claimed to be the son of God and a big wig leader, and I only sold him for about the price we would pay for a slave. I know it was 30 pieces of silver, but it was way more than what Jesus was giving me to go feed those people. Well, it was more than what I was giving myself when I would go help those people out, okay? And so I thought 30 pieces of silver, yes, money in my pocket. Got it done, lock and loaded, and then once Jesus manifests his power, woo, man, we're going to be rolling in the dough, yes! And we'll have power. And so, I struck the deal, got the money, put it in my pocket, and just acted like nothing happened. Wait, caught up with the disciples again, and it was coming up to this thing we call Passover, and we got into this room, and as we were in there, I'm just sitting there with all the other bros and the homies, and we're just sitting there, and as we're sitting there, I notice something that Jesus does. He gets up, and he takes a bucket of water, and he takes a random towel, and he starts going around, and he starts washing people's feet. It just blew me away again. Everything this Jesus guy did just blew me away. And here he was washing everyone's feet. He's going down the line, going down the line. He comes to Peter, another one of the guys that was one of his close buddies. And Peter says, no, you can't wash my feet. Wash my whole body. He says, no, I have to wash your feet. What I'm doing, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but later you will. He says, the ones who really need to wash their whole bodies are those who are unclean, but you are all clean except for one of you. And that just kind of sent a little shrill down my spine, but I kept my composure, didn't think anything of it, and he washed Peter's feet. He came down the line, and he came down to my feet. I took my sandals were already off, but he takes them and he starts washing them. And I look down and I'm looking into his eyes, and it was like his eyes were piercing my soul, and he knew what I had done. Yet he was doing this where he was washing my feet, and then he went on. And he said someone was going to betray him tonight. And I was like, man, was that a flash of divinity or what? Or what was that? How could he have possibly known that I was going to betray him? But I didn't let it known that I was the one who was doing it, and people were just questioning. And I even asked, so, Lord, is it I? And he says, it is as you say. And everyone's kind of confused, and I was kind of like wiping my brow, like, whew, no one really caught on to that. But the night was still solemn, and he still did his thing, and people were like, who is it that's going to betray you? And then he said, the one that I dipped this bread into this juice and handed to it, that's who's going to betray me. And he dips it, and he hands it to me. And as I take it, I'm like, there's no way. How does this guy know? And he whispers in my ear, what you have to do, do it quickly. Judas always looked out for himself. Judas always sized up the disciples, saying, oh, Peter, he just acts out of impulse. John, he just clings to Jesus' words as if they're ever going to fall away from him. And Matthew, he has so much more potential. He just needs to focus more on the future rather than the present with what he's doing with finances and everything. Judas was always the one to size people up, but there was something in the way of Judas. And it was his selfish ambition that was blocking him from being able to hear the voice of Jesus. When I was with Ava, we were just a couple weeks ago, we went to Colorado for a wedding, and as we were driving, we were coming back and we were listening to the radio, listening to this song, a love song, you know, and we were listening to it, and then we go through a grove of trees, and then there's static that's being created. I'm like, no! it's at the best parts, right at the chorus. How can it do this to us? And we got out, and as we were still in the grove of trees and we couldn't hear anything, I could faintly hear the lyrics coming through, and then we got out, and then it was like crystal clear again. I'm like, yes, here we go, we're gonna finish the song. And then Jesus like hit me with a powerful object lesson that's even for my own life. And he says, Caleb, be careful with the things that you surround yourself and bring into your life, because they will create static to the point where you cannot hear my voice. And with Judas, the static was too great within his life that it prevented him from hearing the claims of the divinity to him that night when he says someone's going to betray him. The money that he had got, the selfish ambition that he was trying to attain, was creating too much static within his life that he couldn't even hear Jesus when Jesus was telling him to his face, do what you gotta do. He had made his decision. What is the static within our lives? What is it that's creating an interference to where we can't hear Christ's voice calling to us to give up that which is creating the static? To maybe give up selfish ambition. Am I saying anything wrong with ambition in itself? No. We're told to have ambition. Even Ellen White says we are to have ambition. It is when ambition becomes selfish where we use other people at expense of profiting our own way, that it becomes a problem. What is the static within our lives? And as we come into communion, as we have this awesome ordinance that Jesus left for us as an example, it creates an opportunity for us to reflect on the things that may be causing static within our own life. An opportunity to maybe hear God's voice speaking to us, saying, this is something that you need to give up. This is someone you need to go make amends with. This is something that you need to finally let go after years of holding it against someone else. This is time for you to come close to me and remove that which has been separating you and me. What is the static in your life? And if there is static, are you willing to let that clear up by surrendering it to Jesus so that you can hear his voice clearly again in your life?